かはんにゃはらみたしんぎょう。
Thank you for joining the Zen Care Podcast. These recorded Dharma talks are given freely to our community in the heart of New York City, which we are honored to now share with you. New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is dedicated to transforming the nature of care through contemplative practice by meeting illness, aging, and death with compassion and wisdom.Learn about us at zencare.org.
So good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Easter. And so it goes. About 200 years after Jesus died, they created this mythology around his death of this, the resurrection. That's quite interesting. And then that comes from a mythology that actually came much earlier, about 6,000 years before then, which was Isis and Osiris, and this legend of resurrection, which was actually quite literal. And so it's just so beautiful to, once we think we know the story, that all of our stories are so interlaced with other stories. But we tend to think that our story and our version is what's true. Like some people think that Easter is about Easter baskets, which is also a mashup. Little bunny rabbits and eggs. I always get my husband an Easter basket. But it's also really important to remember, like, how often we believe a particular narrative without remembering that actually every narrative has tributaries to that narrative. As the Sendo Kai was reminded this morning of that. The branching streams flow through the darkness. That most of the things that we think are true are being informed and actually fed by things that we have no idea. I find that very relaxing. That's why in Zen, we're not so interested in what we think. Many people are very interested in what they think. And I've yet to experience where we primarily focus on what we think, how that actually creates liberation. Mostly what we think causes suffering, isolation. What we think about practice, what we think about the Sangha, what we think about whatever, how our mind works. It's often like a little cage. I was reminding someone this morning about thoughts are really secretions of the brain. But sometimes, like, why aren't we listening to the secretions of our bile? Our bile ducts are always like, you know, putting out bile, but we don't tend to value that. Or our lungs, we don't believe that that's us, but we believe that some organ in our head is who we are. Today is the 82nd day of our practice period. It has been, to me, one of the most dynamic. Mostly because of the teachings that I've just been loving of Sawaki Kodoroshi. So fresh. So cheeky. So rigorous. Or as Norman Fisher called him, so strange. Such a strange. He was like, you guys are so brave to in this time, because where we're often kind of overly corrective about kind of wanting to be pleasing to everybody. Sawaki Kodoroshi was definitely not interested in pleasing anybody. He was interested in what was true. And what would that be like? To not be so interested in pleasing, but to be with what's true. Today, the teaching, the selected teaching is the, he says, Ishikawa Gyomon said, even once I have disappeared and all sand has washed into the sea, the seeds of thievery in the world will never be exhausted. This is how he sings the praises of that thief nature that penetrates heaven and earth. However, as long as we don't act like Gyomon, we won't become thieves. Then he says, it is also said that all things have Buddha nature, even you. And that it completely penetrates heaven and earth. But as long as we don't act like a Buddha, we won't become Buddha. Pretty clear. So Ishikawa Gyomon was a ninja, actually. Lived in the, he was born in 1558 and died not long after that. And he was a legendary outlaw who stole gold. He was kind of like a Robin Hood figure. He's, and actually you can see he's kind of a folk hero, but he was a thief. What he did was steal and give to the poor. He and his son were both boiled alive in the public for their crimes. What a way to go. Cruel. To me, it's often how we treat ourselves, boil ourselves alive for our crimes. I experience so many people that I work with so harsh with themselves, so cruel often. But I think it's very important, you know, to think about Ishikawa's teaching. Even once I've disappeared and all the sand is washed to the sea, the deeds of thievery in the world will never be exhausted. So he really understood that. He also understood that his actions of thievery also perpetuates thievery. And to me, this is why our precept study is so important. Not that we won't ever do it well, but to really, you know, consider What are we doing? And Sawaki Koto says, it also said that all things are Buddha nature. So on the same side, the other side of the reality. So remember in Zen, we're always interested in that not just one story. There's not just one story of yourself. So it really matters what you do. So he also focuses on, which Sawaki Koto is mostly interested in, is action. Action, what are you doing? It really does not matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter what your intention is. It doesn't matter what you think about it. What are you doing? What are your actions cultivating? Thievery. Or Buddha nature. To me, most of us, you know, including myself, we can waste a lot of time indulging our thoughts. What we think about it, what we think about ourselves, what we think about others, what we think about. To me, this also moves us into the realm of fear. Fear of actually being where we are, fear of being vulnerable. Trying to be important. And many of us step to the edge and then don't jump. Some people get mad. Why are you always talking about showing up? I get that a lot. What's that about? All the time you're talking about showing up, showing up, showing up. Yes. That is the primary teaching, how you show up. To me, it's also the primary teaching of how you show up when you open your eyes in the morning. Many people misunderstand. They think like, oh, it's saying that you have to come to the Zendo all the time. No, it's about showing up everywhere you are. And it is very important to show up in the Zendo. But it's really so that we're practicing being nowhere else wherever we are. In the shower, going to peeing and pooping, whatever. So you're just there, you're showing up. You're actually experiencing. Chodo and our way here this morning, there's this little cutest little patch of garden that we love to pause at. It's like in between, it's in the middle of the road on 9th Avenue, and there's these beautiful, we thought there were snowdrops, and then we found out they're London lilies. So pretty, so delicate. And then we both realized that we learned that again last year. Which was so great, you know, like, oh yeah, well, like, wait, that was true last year too. And then that's what they were called. You know, so beautiful to learn again and again. But to me, it's very much like the practice itself, that it's just about learning again and again. And many people say, like, oh, I'm worried about it becoming rote or boring. Practicing completely, if it's boring, we're not paying attention. We're not interested in what's happening. Those of us who are on Wednesdays are studying the new translation of Dogen's teachings, where this week we're looking at, he has several pieces that are about seated meditation. And I feel like that he's constantly saying, like, it's also about showing up to that, just in case you didn't think it was. And this version of it, which is principles of seated meditation, he says, studying Zen is seated meditation. So just for, some of you have asked these questions around, like, oh, well, I like to dance, or I like to, you know, is that practice? It's like, no, that's practice dancing. It could be fun. Tango, maybe. I just love that first sentence. Studying Zen is seated meditation. Really important. And he says, for seated meditation, one should have a quiet place. So this is an echo of many things he's written. Spread a thick sitting mat. Do not let in drafts or vapors. Do not admit rain or dew. You should secure and maintain the place you use. There are traces from the past of those who sat on the Vajra throne or sat on a rock. They all spread a thick layer of grass to sit on. The place where you sit should be bright. It should not be dark either day or night. The technique is to keep it warm in the winter and cool in the summer. So, place where it's not one thing or the other. Middle. He says, cast off various involvements and discontinue the myriad affairs. So cut it out. Stop thinking. Think not thinking. It's not important what you're thinking. But then yet many of us think what we're thinking is so important and interesting. Anyone get involved in what they're thinking? And many people think that they're actually practicing Zazen, but they're actually just sitting there thinking about random shit. Or torturing yourself with what you're thinking. Or just completely distracting yourself with what you're thinking. It is not about that. So Dogen's consistently very clear. He says, good is not thought of. So don't think, oh, I'm gonna think good thoughts. No, no. No. Nope. And he also says, evil is not thought of. It is not mind or consciousness. It is not thoughts, ideas, or perceptions. So in other words, like Jesus, like just in case it was not clear. None of that. It's not about your thoughts or your ideas or your perceptions. So while we're sitting Zazen, it's not about that. Not about that. How about you? Hearing this, how is your zazen going? I find that for many years, I wasn't even practicing zazen. Looked like I was. Many years. To me, it's so beautiful. Then later on, he says, straighten your body and sit erect. Do not lean to the left or the right. Do not bend forward or back. The ears should always be aligned to the shoulders and the nose aligned to the navel. The tongue should be placed against the front of the palate. The breath should pass through the nose. The lips and teeth should be closed. The eyes should be open. Neither too widely nor too narrowly. So just even the posture itself is actually part of the instruction for how to be with your mind. Not being involved, but and yet being completely connected. I still hear like people say like, you know, Zen is so disembodied. It's like, it's actually the opposite. If you're really engaging this, our primary ceremony in Zen is the Zazen posture. So if we're not really engaging every aspect of your body, then you're kind of missing the point. It's super lively. And then he kind of repeats, he says, thus, having regulated body and mind, take a breath and exhale fully. Sitting fixed, it is thinking, not thinking. Although he's always repeating that. And to me, I find deep comfort in that. Meaning, this is about 800 years ago. So clearly he had to keep saying to his students, like, think not thinking, think that not thinking. Even then. So maybe what we're doing and what we're struggling with is nothing new. And maybe not even personal to you. He says, non-thinking is the art of seated meditation. The art, I love that. It is the Dharma gate of ease, of great ease and joy. Like to really just allow it to slough off body and mind so that you're just completely engaged and enlivened. This is the way. So how do we practice not wasting so much time? Overindulging and entertaining everything we think. Which actually, to me, I really related to Ishikawa, you know, and because I thought I was doing good. You know, with all my entertaining my thoughts and all my brilliant ideas that I used to share and all my brilliant complaints and my ideas about justice and adapting everything to what I thought was a better idea. It's just really now that I really see that as thievery. Because I didn't really relax into the practice and allow it to flow. And then see what might need adjusting. I was coming in, you know, trying to control. not really allowing myself even to be taught. So to me, this last part of Swaki Kodo's teaching is so beautiful. It is also said that all things have Buddha nature, even you. And it completely penetrates heaven and earth. To me, just like hearing that opens something. So almost the reverse of what he's saying is, if we act like a Buddha, if we make the actions of our life awakened activity, we become Buddha. We're of use. But if we just keep indulging our habitual patterns, as we all can, we're not of use in the same way. So I always, you know, this teaching from last week were about, you know, the difference between awaiting and availing. To me, it continues to be a very deep teaching. So in Dogen Zenji's piece on Great Awakening, he made that difference. To really look at, are you awaiting, so like that, the right time to really practice, to really sit zazen, when you're gonna really get serious, really show up in your life in a fresh way? Or are you going to avail yourself now? The people on the street, the people in your mind, how do you do it? To me, this is the Buddha way, and it is a sweet thing to not miss it. Thank you.